שלום חברים, ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi, Kehilat HaMashiach בתוך ישראל. Welcome my friends to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, our Hebrew poet, Naftali Herz Imba, has written these lines. Let your spirit's desires for the land of our sires eternally burn. From the foe to deliver our own holy river to Jordan return. If ever a river has a valid claim to such a classification as holy, it is the River Jordan. And if ever a people possess a valid claim to ownership of that river, it is the people of Israel. A study of the third and fourth chapters of the biblical book entitled Joshua should establish this thesis. Of course, to those who deny the divine inspiration of the Bible, my authority will make little appeal, I grant you. However, to such I ask leave to tender a word of counsel. At one of our universities, the question was asked, how far can a dog run into a forest? Very few obtained the required answer, yet really it lies upon the surface of the question. You see, a dog can only run halfway into a forest. Beyond that point, it is running out of it. I suggest we might well apply this proposition to the Holy Scriptures. Apart from persons weighted by a mental bias either way, it is my conviction that any incredulity dissipates in proportion to the quantity of biblical ground covered. It is also far too little realized that the flow of modern scientific and archaeological discovery has found itself anticipated by the biblical record. But does someone object to the element of miracle in the Scriptures? Why should there be any reluctance to the acknowledgement that God can and has instituted processes and events of a character not within the regular knowledge or experience of mankind? Many are handicapped in their acceptance of the miraculous by the delusion that the so-called laws of nature are fixed, unchangeable, and eternal, and cannot be modified or reversed. But I appeal to these very same laws of nature to demonstrate the unreliability of such a concept. As far as our earth is concerned, what more universal law of nature could we have than the law of gravitation? But this law of gravitation is not universally obeyed in nature. As a matter of fact, if it were, we would all be poisoned. Let me explain. Carbonic acid gas is injurious to human health, and if it obeyed the universal law of gravitation, it would form a thick layer all round the globe. To avoid this, what we may well call a miracle has been divinely provided within the alleged unchangeable laws of nature. For carbonic acid gas and other noxious gases disobey gravitation and rise to the top of the highest mountains. Another miracle within nature is the gas hydrogen, which, although 22 times lighter than carbonic acid gas, nevertheless descends and can be found in the deepest mines man ever dug into the earth. However, I do not intend this message to resolve itself into a defense of the incidence of miracles in biblical history and revelation. Rather do I wish to confront you with a memorable miracle at the River Jordan, in the day when Moses' successor, Joshua, led the children of Israel across the river into the promised land. The name Jordan means the descender, given to the river because of its amazingly rapid descent from its source at the foot of Mount Hermon to its terminus in the Dead Sea, 1,286 feet below sea level. It is unbelievably sinuous in its labyrinthine windings and twistings, and it weirdly boasts three banks, the largest being at the water's edge. This bank frequently overflows in the springtime because of the melting of the snow on Hermon. The second and wider bank is a regular jungle of vegetation, giving way to a third or upper bank which overhangs the river. In the vicinity of Jericho, the Jordan Valley is about 14 miles wide, and on the east side of the river, Joshua and the children of Israel were camped in the plain of Shittim, all ready now to cross over into the promised land. The great and prophesied day had arrived. The eternal God, who had first granted the promise, declared to Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan." There was both rhythm and reason in the miracle to follow. It was the 10th day of the first month. On that day, 40 years earlier, Israel had taken the lamb for the Pesach sacrifice before the exodus from Egypt. As Rabbi Levi said, their taking the paschal lamb in Egypt stood them in good stead at the Jordan. Doubtless the significance of this anniversary day would be impressed upon the consciousness of the host of Israel as they advanced towards their objective. The tribes who were to have their allotments west of Jordan were reinforced by 40,000 selected soldiers from Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, which would leave some, 70,580 from these three tribes to guard the eastern territory. The Ark of the Covenant, containing the Decalogue, was usually located in the center of the camp, but now, proudly borne by the priests, it led the hosts of Israel westward. A reverent distance of some 2,000 cubits, equal to about 1,000 yards, separated Israel's army from the Ark. This interval was equal to the extent of the permitted Sabbath day's journey. To those Israelites to whom the desert had so recently been their sandy surroundings, the river, silver gleaming in the sunshine, and with banks overflowing, was itself a miracle. But a greater miracle was immediately to follow. From the separating distance of about half a mile, the Israelites looked down, and behold, when the feet of those that bore the ark of the Eternal, the Lord of all the earth, came to rest in the river, the Jordan split in two. The waters coming from upstream stood still, forming a single solid mass, reaching northward from Adamah, as far as the fortress of Zaritan. And the waters going downstream to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Whereupon the priests that carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Eternal stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until the entire people had crossed over Jordan. I have quoted that from the third chapter of Joshua. The famous archaeologist, Dr. Nelson Glick, B.A.L.L.D., Ph.D., has declared that Joshua 3:16 was meant to be taken literally. Personally, I am very content indeed to acknowledge divine interposition in this incident, for, as I said, there was both rhythm and reason in it. The generation of Israel at Jericho, you will remember, had not been sufficiently mature in age to have seen the miraculous parting of the waters of the Red Sea by the uplifted rod of Moses. Of course, Caleb and Joshua had seen it. I use the word seen in the sense of understanding. But this generation needed the attestation and encouragement for the going in, as much as the earlier generation had needed similar divine evidence for the going out. There was a big task ahead for Israel to accomplish. The battle against heathenism was impending. Now just a final word for any who might imagine that the task of suddenly cutting off the waters of Jordan during a flood time was too big a task for the almighty, omnipotent God of creation. Will it come as a shock to learn that this same thing has happened to this same river on at least three separate occasions in history since the days of Joshua? The Arab historian Nuwairi records that on December the 8th in the year 1267 of the Common Era, the entire riverbed right opposite Jericho became dry owing to a landslip higher up. For 16 hours the flow of water down the riverbed was stopped. A similar occurrence is recorded in 1906. Whilst so recently as July 1927, at the very locality of Adamar, mentioned in the scripture verse quoted earlier, an earthquake caused a great landslide which blocked the river for 21 hours. View it as a providential concatenation of time, place, and circumstance, or as a providential direct interposition. The crossing of Jordan was a miracle. No wonder the poet calls Jordan our own holy river. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha, V'yaseim lecha, Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.